website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest you have not been listening to us or joining us very long on the broadcast, the broadcast is designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the questions, we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion on it. We're talking about an issue today that I think is all-encompassing, but we're going to boil it down. We're talking about Trump, the Middle East, and America. Trump, the Middle East, and America. I don't know about you, but I watched with intrigue as Trump made the whirlwind trip, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE, and the trillions of dollars that he brought back to America, as they use the term, in relationship to trade and the purchases, etc., etc. Now, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty and the weeds of all of their negotiation and all of the deals, but I will say that I'm thankful to see what has taken place. But I've got questions, some very serious questions, that I believe we need to analyze, look at, and determine what is best for America. Now, listen. This broadcast is not designed to in any way, any fashion, besmirch President Donald J. Trump or his reputation for what he's done in looking out for America. But I am wondering about some of his staff decisions and some of the decisions that's made by his staff as to who goes into place and who does what. For example, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, Terrorist Ismail Royer appointed to the White House Religious Liberty Board. Islamic jihadist who traveled to Pakistan to train in an Islamic terror camp and serve 20 years in prison, sentenced in the U.S. for jihad terrorist activities, has now been listed as a member of the White House Advisory Board of Lay Leaders. Announced today on the White House official website, just when I thought the vetting crisis at the White House couldn't get any worse. I'm now literally having a heart attack over today's announcement. A literal Muslim Brotherhood Hamas jihadist named Ismail, that's I-S-M-A-I-L, Royer, who was found by the DOJ to have traveled to Pakistan to train in the terrorist camp and who was part of the Virginia jihadist network that trained Islamic terrorists to attack America, was investigated by the FBI, is now on the White House Advisory Board of Lay Leaders that was announced today. And it goes into detail as to historical record going back to 2003 when these things took place, etc., etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this writer of this article says this was likely not done by President Trump, but instead it was done by his staff. It's the latest example of White House vetting crisis. I highly doubt President Trump even knew that this was happening or was even involved in the decision making, end quote. So we're going to talk about a few things, ladies and gentlemen, today that I believe demands the attention of every conservative, every patriot, and every Christian that's tuned in and listening today. It's our responsibility to be salt and light. It's our responsibility to keep watch on what is happening in our governmental authorities, whether it be local, statewide, national, or international. And let me remind you that as we face the issues today, in just a few moments, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our special guest. We're going to ask our special guest some of these very pertinent questions in relationship to what President Trump has done. What does it connote? Is it good, bad, or indifferent? Should we accept a $400 million jet airplane from Qatar? Should we be concerned when, according to the statistical data, about 60% of the donations to our major Ivy League schools is done by Qatar and other Islamic nations? Are they buying influence when they invest this amount of money? Are they looking to get a return on their investment? Is President Trump aware of that? Should he be aware of that? It's just simply President Trump blindly trying to get major investment deals in America without any recognition of the dangers of Islam. I contend that he does not recognize the danger of Islam, and therefore deal making is his modus operandi. And as a result of that, it is my most humble opinion that we're opening Pandora's box for future Islamic involvement, future Islamic roots and control in the United States of America, of which I am very, very concerned about. So today we want to hear from you after our monologue, after we introduce our guest. We'll open our telephone lines, and let me remind you that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to face the facts. We need to recognize the truth of the issues in the world today. Just as the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, he said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be truthful, if I can use a turn on the words, we find that to be truthful even today. I have found from a personal experience down through the years, if you're speaking about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, if you're talking about civil government or politics, as it's called today, if you're talking about finances, etc., etc., if you're talking about any of the issues that God's Word covers from cover to cover, there are those that are going to reject what you say, diss what you say, disagree with what you're saying, and in some way trying to dismantle the truth. There are those that say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, "Most younger Americans say that there's no absolute truth." It goes on in the article, pointing out the latest survey, that 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this: each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. You can't take the shell of a half-truth and try to make it a whole truth if you're not in some way grasping it, looking at it from the total picture of the truth. No such thing as a half-truth. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, looking at a headline, warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is what DeMint said in part: "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you each day on this broadcast to grasp that statement and search for truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. And I pray that that will absorb into your thoughts and your heart and your mindset and what you do and say. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, at the very outset, let's just simply say this. Today's media are all working tirelessly to redirect our focus away from some of the most important events in American history. Most all the media is talking about the just announced cancer of Joe Biden. Now, we grieve with the entire Biden family. That's a horrible, doctor's statement that one must live with. So we grieve with them. We have sympathy and empathy for them. But ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion, and I've not heard a newsreel on this, but it is my opinion that this is something that the Biden family have known for some time. They've just made the announcement and made it public, and I believe the whole purpose was to somehow, some way, detract and deter and redirect the focus on the Biden auto pen presidency. The auto pen was the president, not Biden. And the question is, who used the auto pen? Who turned it on? Who placed the documents under the pen point? Why is it that all of those documents now, I understand, have been shredded, dismantled, and removed, that you cannot find a paper trail? Now, why is that so? What are we dealing with? Who authorized it? Who is responsible for it? What about the executive orders that were signed by the auto pen president? Are they legal? Should they be reversed? What about the presidential pardons? Are they legal? Should they be overturned? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, to investigate, to find the facts, even with the destruction of documents? Will there be any prosecutions? Will there be any action to bring someone to justice in what has been done? Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what has taken place over the past several years with the suits against President Trump, with the injunctions against President Trump, when all of those things are taking place, and the false accusations, as well as the attempted assassination on two occasions, now in comes former FBI Director James Comey and claims that he's innocent. He didn't know that 8647 meant to kill and bury President Trump. We're going to talk about these issues today on this broadcast, and I pray that you'll join the dialogue and discussion. But let me remind you, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, according to Proverbs 14:34. And Psalms 146, verse 3, clearly says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Let me go back and kind of paraphrase without doing any justice to the Word of God. Put not your trust in princes, prime ministers, presidents, or potentates, nor in the son of man, that is, in anyone that's in a human form, anyone that's a human being, in whom there is no help. Listen, our help comes from God, And as you've heard me say many, many, many times, I believe God has divinely intervened. He has given us President Donald J. Trump. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to pray for him, that God will give him wisdom and God will give him protection for him to continue to carry out what I believe God has called him to do. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that we must deal with and understand. We're going to talk about those things today. We're delighted to have with us on Let's Face the Issues today, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the first district representative for the House of Representatives in the state of Florida, and we're delighted that he's taken time off his busy schedule to talk with us today about some of these issues that I believe we need to recognize, and especially as Christians and as conservatives, deal with. God calls us to be responsible. God calls us to be involved as salt and light. And so I pray that this broadcast today will spur you on to becoming involved and being salt and light and taking part in the process. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to what God is going to say through your lips today as we talk about some of these important issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. It's always an honor to be a part of your show. And Dr. Youngblood, aren't we living in fascinating times? Everything that we're seeing happening, not just in the United States, but around the world, from the election of President Trump to what we're seeing happening to former President Joe Biden, if he was indeed ever actually president, but what we're also seeing overseas in the Middle East and with the new Pope and with China and Russia, we are living in fascinating times right now.
We're living in fascinating times and fast-paced times. It seems as though there's a brand new a brand new event every day. It seems as though each and every day the intrigue gets broader and deeper. It seems like every day there's another part of the onion that's being peeled, that we're finding new details and new information that we did not know heretofore. But Congressman Hill, give us your thoughts about President Trump's, I just want a kind of a nutshell thought as to what took place with his travel to Saudi Arabia, to Qatar, and the UAE. What was he doing? What took place? What was the outcome of it, in your opinion? How does that affect America, in your opinion? And then we're going to go from there with digging a little deeper.
Well, I thought, Dr. Youngblood, that it was a successful trip. How successful, we'll know as time moves on. But the fact that he is bringing in over $1 trillion in Middle East investments in the United States is amazing right there. That is going to do affecting our economy in a very positive way. Now, what was interesting about that whole trip is, from what we could see, and when I say we, I mean the public, we could not see any involvement of Israel at all in that Middle East trip. And I'm not quite sure what was going on there, if he was trying to isolate Israel or he didn't want Israel involved, because it would have been easier to make those deals without Israel being involved. But I think ultimately what it's going to do is bring a broader peace to that region. You'll recall, Dr. Youngblood, that in Trump's first term, he made these deals with the Arab nations, and they were willing to sign agreements to not be at odds with Israel, at least militarily, to attack them. And hopefully that's what we're going to see happen this time. And as I say that, we're reading how Israel just yesterday started a major offensive into Gaza with the intent of getting rid of Hamas altogether, of just moving them out of that area. And we're seeing the millennia-old battle between Israel and the Philistines taking place right before our eyes.
You're exactly right. One of the things, I'll touch on this and get your thoughts, and then we'll take our next caller. But when we understand that the enemy of Saudi Arabia, of Qatar, and of the UAE all hate Iran.
That's right.
They all are petrified with what Iran will do, can do, and perhaps will very soon be able to do with nuclear weapons. So therefore, they're all siding with Trump because Trump's against Iran, as he ought to be, but they're all gathering around that one isolation, as I think, wanting to see Iran stopped in some fashion. Now, one of the things that is on the other side of that coin, that aspect of it is good. But the other side of that coin, with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the UAE, all of them want to see the bifurcation of Israel with a two-state solution. That's the reason you didn't see Benjamin Netanyahu joining Trump on that journey. That's the reason you didn't see Benjamin Netanyahu saying anything in the positive sense about that journey, because all of those nations want to see Israel divided, and they all are wanting to see Gaza remaining in the hands of the enemy and not developed, as President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu talked about doing. So therefore, this is the thing that we're witnessing. In my opinion, we're watching an attempt to bring about a group of nation states that's against Iran to bring about pressure against Iran to block Iran from getting the nuclear weapon, even at the risk of alienating Israel because of taking that trip. Now, my opinion is that we will see through, as a result of this, I believe we're going to see the broadening of the Abraham covenant, Abrahamic agreement that President Trump was able to get done in his first administration. It was Saudi Arabia was on the verge of signing off on that when the October the 7th took place with the massacre of about 1,200 to 1,400 Jewish people. Saudi Arabia backed off, and I think now edging toward making a decision. But I'm wondering how that's going to play out, Congressman Hill, because when we look at the scripture, Israel is not going to be divided. There's not going to be two Jerusalems. There's not going to be a Palestinian state and a Jewish state, as I see it, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. So that is the issue that I believe is yet to be, the bridge that is yet to be crossed dealing with that particular issue for Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis to come on board with it. And I'm thankful for, as you said, with the major financial boon that it means to American business. But did you notice, what's your comment on this, your thoughts? Did you notice the names and the people that were surrounding Trump, the who's who on a global basis of the deep-pocketed people that control the finances for the globe were present with President Trump? You had the head of BlackRock, Fink, and you had Altman, which is one of the key orchestrators of artificial intelligence. And I find that it's intriguing to me from an eschatological viewpoint to find that with Altman present, and the main thing that Saudi Arabia wants, that Qatar wants, and the AEU wants, all of them are wanting the right to have and to develop and to use artificial intelligence. In fact, part of the trip with Trump, they're buying millions of dollars worth of chips, that is computer chips, to develop their AI program. They're buying that. Now, with me, in my view of it, it looks like it is enhancing the tools that will be ultimately the hands of the Antichrist in days to come. What are your thoughts in relationship to the main focus being on art, and it was artificial intelligence, and the microchips that is useful in that? Does that have any ringing of any bell in your thoughts as to the potential with that part of the world having artificial intelligence to a major degree?
Well, eventually they're going to get it, Dr. Youngblood. They're going to get artificial intelligence either by working cooperatively with us or by theft, like China has done. China and Russia, these two communist nations, would not be in a position they're in if they had not stolen technology from the United States over decades of doing it. And everyone knows that. from their military applications to their being able to find minerals like oil and so forth, if they had not stolen that technology from the United States, they would not have it. Now, they are also stealing AI technology.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to work in a cooperative manner with those Arab states in the Middle East to help them develop AI is better than China. Let me say it differently, the communist China, because that is different from the Chinese people. From communist China stealing that technology and then trying to make some deal with those Arab states to either sell it to them or to allow the Chinese Communist Party to have some influence in their region in exchange for that AI. So I think it's smart on the part of Trump to allow them some access to that AI, because eventually they are going to get it. And what I did appreciate about Trump's trip when he was there is he made the comment that we're not here to bring our culture into yours, to make you like the United States. Instead, we're here to allow you to develop your own culture that's been around for millennia, to develop it to the extent it can be in a peaceful manner. And I thought that that was just an amazing comment that he made, when in the past, the idea was always for the U.S. to go into an area and try and make it like the U.S.
What they call nation building.
A democracy, which we're not, but a republic, and even the way they dress and so forth. But that was changed with Trump. So the whole idea of them getting a hold of AI, it's like saying they're going to get a hold of computers. Well, of course they are. Eventually, that technology is going to spread. So let's do it in an agreeable manner instead of them getting it underhandedly through either China, Russia, or even Iran.
I'm in full agreement with that, and that is what that is the main focus that I have with that, because as I have had several broadcasts on that subject, I believe the key tool that we're developing at exponential speed today, the artificial intelligence, will be one of the key tools that the Antichrist uses, according to Daniel chapter 8, verse 25 and following, where the Antichrist will be able to understand dark sayings. That is, the Antichrist will know things, see things, and be able to do things that would be extra human or beyond the realm of humanity. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, people. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I tell you, y'all dead on point. And the Communist Network News was talking about Trump's son going over there. Before, I mean, they had business with them before he became president.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his choice to go over there. And the only thing I want to really see, but Benjamin Netanyahu, he's like, we gonna knock these suckers out the box. We gonna get them out of here.
You're exactly right. One of the things that's a main differentiation between what President Trump is negotiating and doing, and he's doing it, I believe, with open hand, open eyes, and willing to try to negotiate so that we can have peace in that area, be able to do business with them, and not have them as our enemy. But Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to allow that. Kenneth, one of the major things is, because we're about to hit a hard break, but one of the major things is, as I see it, as you said, President Trump and his Trump organization was doing business over there far before he came president. That's the reason when he said about his trip that he already knew these people, they're already friends, and he just simply wanted to make it on the part his trip on behalf of the United States of America. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you. We'll keep looking up. Congressman Hill, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine.